Wednesday, October 30th at 4 p.m. If you'll stand, we'll have a quick invocation and pledge of allegiance. Almighty Father, we thank you for the grand and glorious day you have bestowed on Green Cove Springs. We ask that you continue to provide your blessings on this community and the surrounding area. We ask that you also provide your guardian hands around all of those who are on the point of the spear protecting our freedoms and our liberty in lands far and near. And we also ask that you guard and take care of the families here at home while they are away. We ask these blessings in your name. And amen.
In the name of God.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, I have a tally here. We have all but two members that are present, and those two members are Mr. Bickner and Ms. Haddock.
Okay, good. So we are at quorum, and we're ready to move forward. Did everyone get a chance to read the minutes, either as they came in or online, these days earlier in the day? I read them. I didn't see anything that required changing.
I did read except the minutes.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Aye.
Second by Mr. Lewis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimously passes. Okay. Fourth item on the agenda is a discussion and action for city election process. And this relates back to our discussion the last time on a number of days before and all those kinds of things. And Mr. Chambliss is here to cover that notice.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready now?
We're ready.
All right.
You got 30 seconds, sir.
It's good. The
time
done. Real quick, with regards to municipal super Tuesdays, again, there are numerous counties in the state of Florida that have looked for efficient ways to continue to meet the needs and the requirements of government, and this is just one of those ways. I think that in my earliest adopter, if you will, of municipal super Tuesdays was Pasco County. And Pasco County is a part of their charter review for that actually went out to the municipalities and changed it to where they said that the municipalities shall conduct their elections consolidated for that. So there are a number of counties, and I think in those areas, by legislative statute, state legislative statute, they gave them that power, consolidated governments in Broward, down in Metro Dade in Jacksonville, it really started to look at this. Instead of having multiple smaller or mid-sized elections, if you will, they have a little bit of a larger election. And through that consolidation, they can save in a number of ways. First and foremost, I think that there's a significant benefit in consolidating those election notices. All of the, if you look at what we've started to do is we've started to create, if you will, a page of election events to where we've noticed in the paper that has all of the scheduled events and possibly to be determined events for that, so we're able to put one public notice in that. That's a savings. But in addition to that, if you consolidate it in your municipalities, then of course you have the same consolidated date, so you have one public notice versus many, that you're either contending with the municipalities for space in the same paper, depending how far out you do that, or of course again consolidating and saving through that. Uniform voter education. It's no secret that since 2000 that elections legislative efforts with regards to changing the election code is continually evolving. I think that the legislators took a fairly large swing again just last year in making some legislative changes that will touch everyone with regards to campaign finance, with regards to voting by mail, with regards to even the financial report you get closer to the election, 2 weeks out, you do weekly reporting. And so it is a great administrative overhead for the municipalities, even for our office, to be able to provide that. So I think consolidating that effort to a single location, consolidating the voter education out to what are some of the new changes, what are some of the new resources that are available through that consolidation is a big savings. Ballot layout and programming, of course, there's a cost that's passed along through the memo of understanding to each one of the municipalities with regards to the layout for the code involved for that, and certain administrative fees that are passed along to you. The consolidation of that, because there's now just one coding event versus individuals. So depending on how many municipalities in a given year consolidate together in that year, because there are going to be years where through all elections that aren't in that cycle, and therefore instead of maybe having the cost divided, divisible by four, is now divisible by two. It's still always going to be either a savings or at least the same cost to you if you were, just so happens you had the only one that was having an election this time. Each municipality will still, however, be able to have their unique ballot style. While it's one coded election, you will have the Green Code Springs municipal ballot style, where only Green Code Springs municipality races will be on that ballot style. So you still are able to maintain your own ballot for that. And again, this item is always going to be passed along to you, but it saves in overtime for the Supervisor of Elections office. When we conduct an election, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but we always, especially during my term, have always supplied one staff member at no charge, one poll worker at no charge to each municipality for each election. And I do that because I think it's important for all staff to be able to walk the walk versus talk the talk. Lead by example, I myself actually have poll worked in municipal elections. While not Green Cove, I've been in Orange Park and I've poll worked in T7 Heights as well, as my schedule will allow. But in addition to that, again, there is overtime fees. If we're outside our normal operating hours, then I am going to seek reimbursement from the municipality for those times for that. Again, one of the catalysts and the benefits to this is that in my original discussion with you, I said that because of the Help America Vote Act, because of the MOVE Act, the Military Overseas Voter Enfranchisement Act, that there are now new deadlines where mail ballots have to begin mailing for that. Specifically, military has to be out 45 days prior. Civilian has to be out, military and overseas. Civilian has to be out 35 to 28 days. Well, if you look at your current timeline, you're stepping all over this, but don't worry, everybody else is. Well, all the municipalities are. But this will allow for a unified timeline to ensure that all municipalities are in compliance with the statutory requirement for that. Cost savings. Again, this is not, you have the benefit with being in the county seat, of course, being in Green Cove Springs, but shared delivery charges, bless you, shared delivery charges to where, again, we consolidate, we rent one truck. Of course, we have a great relationship with Ryder, and we rent trucks. I know Green Cove Springs, if I remember correctly, Lee was able to get the school board's truck. But we rent a truck, and we deliver out the equipment. Again, shared cost for that. Unified campaign reporting. Again, there is nothing that will get you or a candidate in more trouble than not adhering to the campaign reporting guidelines and laws. So the campaign reporting would be all through our website and would be all available through. Sure, they pick up a packet here. They could pick up a packet online on our website because it's a unified packet. And they qualify at our office. Regardless of whether you're a Green Cove Springs candidate or an Orange Park candidate or a Keystone Heights, you all would, every candidate would log on to our website and would complete the documentation, and then mail it in or bring it in or come to the office and qualify from the beginning at our office. So again, consolidated qualifying for that. Unified book closing. Instead of having a book closing here for voters and a book closing here and there, they would be consolidated for that. It will not require additional office staff for your own. Because, of course, right now, you're completing the fulfillment of the absentees. You're doing the campaign qualifying. You're doing the campaign reporting. And so, of course, it's a great savings to that. So far, of course, we have Bay, Broward, Okaloosa, Pasco, Pinellas, Palm Beach, Volusia, and Duval currently have those unified elections to avoid confusion and no other choice, and offer no other choice. In addition to that, recently I stumbled upon a statute. One of the hard things was when you're trying to make this a change to your charter, it's a big sand pit to get all of the municipalities to come together and to amend their charter all at the same time with that. Well, thankfully, there's Florida Statute 100.36.05 that provides the ability by ordinance to change your election date and qualifying time to allow for the easy mobility to the unified timelines for that. So by ordinance, the city council is able to, in effect, to make this change with that. And so as a part of that, you would create an ordinance. The city council would create the ordinance, and the ordinance would spell out exactly some of the processes for that. Number one, that all elections are conducted with or through chapters 97 through 106, which is the Florida Election Code. The reason why you put such a broad statement out is that when the election code changes, you don't have to worry and go back and make those changes. You say that you are going to conduct your elections, your consolidated elections, with state statute. Furthermore, one of the great benefits, again, to the state statute is that there's also one with regards to qualifying, and that's 99.061. And you say, you know what? That we will conduct our qualifying for our candidates in accordance with that Florida statute 99.061, and then you set your dates. It's not easy, not earlier than 71 days prior to the election, nor later than 67 days. Well, Chris, how did you come up with this? Well, it's in the state statute. And so it's very easy for you to begin crafting the ordinance for that. Then you set out, of course, I picked just out of the sky, the third Tuesday of April after the third Monday in accordance with the current terms of office established. It's the date of the election. That can be changed at any time. I know you take office in May, so a third Tuesday works fine for your current setup as it is right now. And then, of course, if need be, for a runoff election, you set it for another period of time for that. And then the last code is to the last section of the charter is to go and make the statement that all aspects of the machine recount or the manual recount is to be conducted per election code. And again, it's safe. It allows for the movement within the election code for that. And it's a good living, breathing solution for this if you do decide to consolidate those election dates. That's all I have. Open up for any questions. Sir?
You were mentioning some changes in the election laws. You listed two or three things that the legislature is trying to do in Atlanta. Is there any more movement toward voter ID?
The state of Florida has a voter ID requirement and has done so since 95, so I know it's a section 97, so section 97, but there is a requirement for a voter signature ID in the state of Florida and has been since then.
That's totally a state issue and not a national issue.
That's correct, sir. And just to let you know, I mean, we were already challenged by the ACLU in, I want to say, I want to say it was 2005, and it was litigated and it was found to be acceptable. And let me tell you why it was found to be acceptable. The state of Florida has a great provisional ballot process, and to where even if you do not have a photo and signature ID on when you go to the polls, that you can vote a provisional ballot, and you complete a provisional ballot affidavit. And as long as the signature matches on that provisional ballot certificate envelope to your signature on the your voter registration record, your ballot will count. No further action. Well, where is that? What safeguards are provided? Well, you remember, in order to register to vote, you have to provide a Florida driver's license number or a last four of your Social Security, which goes through the Florida voter registration system, the statewide database, and is confirmed at that time.
Isn't it hard to tell
whether
the signature sometimes? They're so close.
Our office has a policy to where each member goes through a forensic signature recognition course. Clay County is very fortunate that has a world-renowned, when I say world-renowned, he's been in cases in Scotland Yard and in the Supreme Court of signature recognition, and he lives in Fernandina. So annually, he comes to Clay County and conducts a forensic signature recognition. While signatures do change, there are trends in the way that you start a signature and the way that you end a signature, your peaks, your valleys, your slants, your angles. So there's a lot of things that you can look in verifying the signature. It's always important. You'll notice in any advertisement that we do, it always carries a component about signature update. We always ask you that if it's been some time, you need to update your signature.
I almost got Bob Lewis down there.
I remember the Sherman T. Potter, where Klinger was forging the Colonel's signature.
Any additional questions for Chris?
Yes, or Luke.
What I'm, directionally, are you saying that the city council should pass an ordinance and then take that ordinance and play it back into the city charter in order to accomplish the ability to have the flexibility to line up with other municipalities to run elections? Or I'm not sure what the message is here.
I think it's a smart thing to do. Number one, I would certainly, want to refer that to your city attorney, Mr. Arnold. I think that my message is consolidating of your municipal elections is a good thing in saving money and making the process more efficient. However, in between our last meetings, I stumbled across this Florida statute that gives the municipalities the power I think it would be much easier for the city council to enact an ordinance based upon the Charter Review Commission's support of the concept of municipal super Tuesdays. I'll defer to Mr. Arnold.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think my thoughts on this, when I saw this and even before, is some of the things we have in the charter we can simply delete and or refer, as you just said, to, we already refer to state law, of course, but I mean, I think we can do that even more. You want to leave some basics in your charter. I presume everybody does, the five-member, five members, all that sort of thing. I don't think that the city council by ordinance should be making those sort of changes. I think the people should do those. But certainly the election process itself, dates of vote, when the votes are taken, election day, and then the qualifying dates and all that, I agree wholeheartedly that you could do it by ordinance. We could have already done it by ordinance, just simply by taking it out of the charter and saying those things will be provided for by ordinance. But that, there's just an old statute. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
You might want to get a copy, save you some work.
Oh, I got it.
I think that one would be any charter review, and I appreciate you for taking the opportunity to look at this. you know, elections aren't glamorous and aren't glitzy, but they're very important for this. I would point you to what's happening right now in Wakulla County, to where the municipality made some errors in candidate qualifying and in absentees. That is going to be a huge lawsuit for that municipality. It is a, it's a shame that your city manager and city clerks are asked to be elections experts when it's just an additional duty. It just doesn't make sense. After 2000, they take this serious now, and stuff changes every year. It's a huge amount of continuing education now, and it's a lot to ask of them to do that.
But yes, right now the citizens who come to City Hall and cast a ballot, would that be the same, or would they
have to come down
to your office?
No, it'd be the same.
Still do here?
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I would like to entertain just a thought is, you know, if you were to get to Municipal Super Tuesdays to where you were sharing the cost and we really started to look at this, that you take some of those savings and reconsider opening up an abbreviated early voting time. I know you're going to cringe when I say that, but I want you to know 57% of the vote in Clay County happens prior to Election Day. You're better serving the public, the citizens, yourselves, if you take some of those savings and spread it across and allow for early voting in an abbreviated period of time. I think that's important.
Abbreviated less than what you do now?
Well, right now you do nothing in municipal election. You've exempted yourself. But what I'm saying is that currently right now it's a 10-day period that happens, or excuse me, an 8-day period that happens 10 days prior to the election, but the municipalities are given the authority to abbreviate. You can do a week, you know, and I think that makes sense.
I think right now we fill out an absentee ballot.
We do it in a left-handed
way. You vote by mail.
We do it in a left-handed way. You send in your absentee ballot or deliver.
And I'll tell you, the legislature feels so strongly about that is you can no longer do counter voting on Election Day by law. Individuals would come into the elections office and say, you know what, I don't want to go to my polls. I just want to vote here. And you can no longer do that. Mm-hmm. And the reason why for that is, of course, the 3,000 people that voted in Duval County at Jerry Holland's office on the day of the election.
Well, that's the Chicago rule, vote often.
No. Come on now. We still have the statewide voter registration system, and I have an electronic voter identification system that will tell me within 60 seconds whether you voted or not. But I do get your point, Mayor Daley.
Here's a question, Chris. As we look at this, just listening to your comments, there are probably some discussions that we might want to recommend to the council that we, as you point out, take the clerk and city manager and staff out of the election process and have you conduct that election. Does this statute and this ordinance allow us to do that without doing a lot of charter amendments?
It isn't in your charter with regards to, it talks about the qualifying, but for that. I'll tell you, there's two things that we're going to have to get beyond. There's two methods to your canvassing board. There's one that you say, look, the county canvassing board is the one that's going to canvass the election. The canvassing board is made up of three members from each legislative, executive, and judicial branch forming government, the three tenants of government for that. Or what some of the municipalities do is they say, we're going to give you two board members. The supervisor of elections is going to be the chair of the board. So if there was a six, let's say a five municipal election, there would be an 11-member canvassing board. And when we were canvassing a Green Cove Springs ballot to where it was signature didn't match, or you're looking at voter intent issues and stuff like that, then those two municipality, along with the supervisor of elections, would make the determination for that ballot. So it's equitable. And then the certification is made by all 11. That's why each member of the municipality has an equal invested interest on the board. And that's one of the ways that they've done it as well. Most of your bigger municipality or your bigger jurisdictions, they just say, county just does it all. We don't even want a part of it for that. Some of your smaller ones, like Okaloosa, like Bay County, that are our size or smaller, they say we want two representatives on the canvassing board from each one of the municipalities. I don't have a dog in the hunt. I just want to be here to serve.
You would do it, though. You would do it for us.
Yeah. That would make sense along the same lines of don't have the city manager run an election, you know, the canvassing board, let's get experts looking at this stuff.
Well, I think that one of the great things about it is with regards to the canvassing boards is prior to, I have a great canvassing board manual. We have a Florida State Association of Supervisors of Elections canvassing board manual, and I share that manual with each one of the canvassing board members from the municipality. I know that when Bob Surf, of course, he came in, we had an orientation meeting where we kind of talked about what was voter intent, here's what the statutes say, here's what the state rules say. I would suggest that we adopt state statute and rule. Remember, that was the very first decision that we made, and we went on from there. I understand your point. I think, though, that where you're going to get from maybe some of the municipalities, that while they appreciate this consolidated effort, I still want to have a voice at the table. And so the concept of having two members from each municipality as being the three members, so you have two members and then you have the supervisor of elections as the chair, is also a prudent way. Either way, I'm good with it. I think that you'll have a hard time maybe getting Judge Tim Collins in. For a county canvassing board, you may have some hard time from being able to get them in, and so that may be an easier way to make it.
You mean you or your designee, for instance, not you personally?
No. I would be me.
Yeah, okay.
It would be me.
And if you're not available, how would that
be? Unless I'm dead. Well, let me tell you what the statute says.
Yeah.
The statute says is that the circuit judge appoints my replacement.
Okay.
So.
Well, if you're not re-elected, then the person who fills your shoes...
It's not Chris. It's the role of a supervisor of elections.
That was my question.
So we could say, or you're lawfully designated alternate substitute or something along those lines. Probably we would want to do, and again, whether we get all the other cities, or not that many, but whether we get them to all get on board, some of this stuff would be uniformly adopted, you would think. Some of the suggestions you've already made to go into ordinances, that sort of stuff. So I guess we could all collectively put our heads together with what is only two firms that represent cities.
We have reached out to the other municipalities. Keystone has contacted Chris to answer some questions. Town of Orange Park is interested in looking at it again. The town of Penny Farms has had a change in town manager. So they're interested in looking at it, although they're smaller than the other three municipalities. But Chris made an excellent recommendation that if they are very interested in doing this, have a joint meeting with each of them at his office, and then he can go over and explain the pros and the cons of what will take place.
A publicly noticed meeting.
Yes.
We invite all of the council members from all the municipalities and just kind of have a night of municipal supervision.
Help the chairman out here with where we are. I understand the process of the discussion of where we're saying it becomes easier to get to the Super Tuesday with the ordinance process of getting everybody to do that to clean up the charters, et cetera. in the interim, is there something that we need to do with our charter now that we're going to recommend to the council? And I think particularly of this issue of
qualifying
days, qualifying days and so forth. I mean, do we do a partial ordinance that cleans that up for us?
We could simply delete any reference in the charter and then make reference to state law, just like he just laid out for us. I mean, that would be the easiest thing to take that part of the charter that conflicts with, you know, adoption of an ordinance, and then of course the council would need to have an ordinance ready to adopt.
But
they can't take it out of the charter
at the same time they adopt. Well, you know, that's a good question. Can you adopt an ordinance that becomes effective at the time that a charter amendment is passed? Probably you could. It's a date. It would be a date to be known. It couldn't be.
I guess what I'm saying, do we need to propose an amendment, or can we just work alone and can the city council do an ordinance that deletes it and replaces it?
Right.
Versus us having to have an amendment.
Right.
What if you just took the city charter and, to Jim's point, and for that section reference, this is dealt with by ordinance, and then recommend to the city council that they pass an ordinance consistent with the attached, which allows for Super Tuesday municipal elections, and then we're done. I mean, assuming everybody agrees that Super Tuesday kind of municipal election makes sense.
I'm not sure this could be effective for the upcoming election, because we've also got things in there about that we'll be the judge of our own election, and so I think maybe you could.
I think this April election is going to be
the ordinance, and then
it would
be for and not the spring, but the following spring.
It's after the next election.
Yeah, I think so, because there's a few other spots in there, Chris, that I think that.
I think if you adopt the position of two people from the council being a member of the canvassing board, you still are the judge of your own election if you were to go that route.
But it says, and of course in our charter, that the council is the canvassing board and it has a couple of alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
I tend to agree with our city manager. So whatever changes we're going to be making regarding the election process itself is going to be, couldn't be effective before, obviously, the citizens, and this is assuming they adopt the changes that y'all will propose, and that the city council passes an ordinance to put them in a referendum, on a referendum. It really couldn't affect the election that we're about to hold, nor the referendum on the changes.
Right. Nothing we can do about the election. We do have to be voted on.
Right.
Then doesn't it make sense to take the recommendation that references an ordinance and references, you know, timing and who's going to be part of the canvassing board and bake it into a charter amendment, which would clearly eliminate it from impacting this next election? And the recommendation would be, you know, at some point, you have to pass an ordinance, and it would be effective with the subsequent election, and then just be done with it. I mean, am I missing something?
Jim, can I ask you, could you, and again, I see your point.
But if you
wrote
it
now,
for
but
us, we could then take a lot of time, Chris.
Well, I finished writing T-zones, but for another reason. One of the, all I did was help them with their timelines.
Sure.
For that. But I have a question. Could you put in there a charter amendment or as set by ordinance?
Oh, sure.
So if you just added that to it, that would put you in a place.
Now, you mean, what's the first part of the or? State law or?
Well, you could say,
does it conflict with state law or
my ordinance.
Yeah.
And if you were able to do that, then when you put the ordinance in place, because you're right, there is some small little details that you may need to clean up in your charter, and I would hate to develop a conflict. So just,
yeah. I probably need some, maybe sitting down with Lee or Danielle or all of us, I don't know, and have a little quiet time trying to think through it exactly and make a recommendation back to the committee. It's hard with eight people to sit here and go through word and line by line on that particular area and try to formulate some thoughts that make some sense. You know, we bring that something clear.
Let's do this for a couple of step process here. Are we all in occurrence that this charter committee would encourage the council to go through a Super Tuesday process for municipal?
Yeah.
Then I think the question becomes for us, how do we, in the interim, clean up the charter for any details that we need to clean up until we can get to there? And then, is there something that we can do as this particular committee that, should the council and the other cities pass ordinances, et cetera, that would let that fall through at a process that would make that happen when those ordinances are passed? And what do we need to do there? Is that sort of where we need to be?
Of course, the other cities aren't having a review of their charters probably simultaneously with us. I would think that would be an odd coincidence.
Keystone Heights is the only one that is reviewing their charter at this time.
Yeah, but if they can do it by ordinance, they don't have to review their charter.
If they can
line this thing up right
well,
now.
Well, I guess my central question is who is having the municipal elections in 2014 that have seats up? Obviously, we do.
Keystone,
what about Orange Park? I mean, do we have the potential to have a Super Tuesday?
You know, one of the things that I'm starting to learn, Danielle, is that wherever you have more than one, you have a Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you're able to make an efficient savings.
Right.
So I think that you're never going to do any worse than the cost.
Yeah.
No, than the cost. I mean, you could not have opposition, okay, and therefore not have an election. Still be in the cycle but not have elections. So you're never going to do worse than one for that. And with regards to your qualifying, I would look, if there is any way you could look at the guidance of 99.061, which talks about that it is no earlier than the 71 days prior to the election, nor later than the 67 days prior to the election. With regards to when your qualifying period is.
We had talked the last time, 60 days and 75 days.
So not that much different.
No.
But what this does is this puts you in line with state statute for that. So I think, you know, I think it may be easier if you're going to take the step anyway, go ahead and align yourself with state statute.
I agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay. Any other questions or questions? Yes, go.
To the great, what is the time frame, of getting the cities together, the council members, to discuss this with the Tuesday? Are we talking long period or before we do the charter revision?
That would really depend on, you know, their schedule. I'll make the contacts along with Chris to arrange that. And it'll just be subject to their availability to meet at his office to discuss it. And we can try to maybe get it done next week or the following.
Yeah, we thought it was just important, number one, to get a good foundational lead of how we felt before we began bringing others to the table.
Because there's interest expressed at least by two of the other three. Penny Farms is the only one that's not totally, because they're so small, they don't think, but that's still an issue that we all need to sit down and talk about it and then let them decide after that. Chris and I will get together with them and try to set up something as quickly as possible. Like I say, Keystone's already contacted Chris's office with questions, which he answered, but I have not heard back from Mr. Suggs with regard to that, but we will reach out to them. I can start tomorrow reaching out to them and seeing if we can't set up something very quickly next week or the following week to get that meeting going and then come back to this body and give you a report.
So are we, as a group, as a committee, are we trying to do this by ordinance to not allow the voter to vote because there wouldn't be any changes in the charter that we're just going to do it by ordinance? And third question, maybe go along. So what is it that we're going to hand to, when this committee is finished, what are we going to hand to the council? Say that we, Charter Revision Committee, recommend that you ABC.
Interesting.
Asking our chairperson.
I think the answer to that, and I'm still a little unclear on that issue, but the one part that I think we have already discussed, but that we want to do, is that we are probably going to remove the qualifying for seat section and reference that to state statute. And that gets us into the days and correct days and making sure that we're in compliance with all of those things. Then I think the rest of the discussion is one that we encourage the council to meet with their other municipalities and review the process for having a countywide municipal Super Tuesday. And that could be accomplished without any further modifications of the charter via ordinance. And the only thing I would ask is that we probably need to, with Jim and Chris, just take a look and make sure there's nothing that we shouldn't put on there, that we clean that up to prepare for that process, if it were required.
So our recommendation is that this committee recommends to the city that you start down the road of the Super Tuesday and do whatever it is that we recommend that you do whatever it is that you need to get the process going to make it happen, and fails. We're just sort of saying we agree on it here at the city council, it's yours.
I think what I would see us doing is, again, taking enough of the charter and changing it where you can make things be done by ordinance or allow things to be done by ordinance, again, like your canvassing board and like Chris cited this statute, things like that. But we, and y'all won't need to have to do that. We'll be happy to do it. Staff will be happy to go through here for the sections that would have any applicability of what we're talking about and try to figure out what we've taken out and then bring that back to you in the form of a recommendation. And then y'all can shoot at it or whatever you want to do. But just to give us the flexibility, I think, is what it sounds like we're trying to accomplish.
I'll vote for that.
I don't think anybody else wants to
vote. Well, yeah, I think I do volunteer as well.
If you don't do something like that by ordinance, and you try to put something like that on a referendum or ballot, 99.9% of the people won't have the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Well, so it's because there'll be an explanatory note on the ballot, you know, the reasoning behind what you're doing.
But I think that, again, I think what we're trying to do here is, one, make sure that we're in compliance with state statute, so we're not violating something there. Then secondarily, prepare the charter for the ability for the council to take an ordinance action rule through if that happens with other states or with other cities. And in doing all of that, there's nothing that prevents the city from singularly asking the supervisor of elections to conduct the elections for the city. Right?
Give ourselves that flexibility again, and that, again, either in the charter or, again, it probably would be better in an ordinance to do it that way. That way, if the council down the road decides they don't like it, supervisor of elections, they can flip the ordinance around and go a different direction if they want to. They wouldn't have to go back to the referendum.
That's a sensible addition because, you know, it's a little like having your brain surgeon repair your car. I mean, these people do it for a living. They're not having them run your election.
We've been...
Your pay will be cut to me by 10%, but you don't mind that.
No,
but your hours will be cut.
I can't tell you how much we have relied on Chris and his predecessor during elections as long as I've been around, and we couldn't have done it without them, I can assure you. Because inevitably something comes up, and, you know, I don't have all these statutes memorized. I look at them once in a while when we have an election or we have a problem, and like Chris has told you, he's going to seminars, he's doing all the things, and his whole life is just that one topic, and everybody in the office are experts, and certainly we're not. We've got a working knowledge, and Lee did a real good job last time, and Margie did a great job all of her years, but, you know, if you look back, you could find things that we probably did wrong, quite honestly. Didn't change the election, thank goodness. But, yeah. I would appreciate it.
So can
I just clarify something? So, Jim, you're going to take Article 7, which is nominations and elections.
Or more sections.
That one, at the very least, because that's the one that describes the second
Tuesday. I'm going to ask for Lee's help, and Danielle wants to pitch in, obviously, any of us, but, you know, we really just need to sit down with some quiet time and go through it rather than trying to do it in this setting. It's a little bit more difficult. But I think we know what you want to do. Believe you. If we don't, you can tell us, and then we'll change it.
Anything else you have for us, Chris?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions to Chris? And I think we're all reasonably clear on where we are and what we want to do here tonight. Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll be calling you at 8 in the morning, Chris.
I'm there at 7.
Okay. 7.
Come on.
We're calling you at
6:45.
If you take me to Cousins, it'd be even better.
Is that robbery?
No.
Oh, okay.
That is, I'm Baptist. I like to
eat.
All right. If we all have our cheat sheet from the last time here, I think we finished up with Section 209 compensation. We had that squared away. So let's move on to Section 211. And the discussion here, I think, is whether we need or should or want to include a definition of proclamation in that section, and if that does anything for us.
I don't think it does, Bob. I mean, proclamation, if you don't, typically in the law, if you don't define a term, it's to have its common meaning, and then most people, even courts, look, open a dictionary. That's what I did with proclamation. You know, it's pretty easy to see what a proclamation is, and we do them all the time, and they're ceremonial, mostly in nature. They're not a law. They're not a directive to an employee to do things or the city manager to do things. And I don't think it adds anything to the charter request, to be quite honest with you. And I think it's all of our intent to give the voters enough to vote on, but not too much to vote on, whatever that means to the committee. That's just my 2 cents worth.
Would entertain a motion to make no changes to Section 211.
I'll make a motion to make no changes to Section 211.
Second. Motion. Second by Margaret Fields. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay. So that's the motion. 214, emergency ordinances. Jim, you were going to take a look at there and see if we were still consistent with...
We're fine. We actually require more than state law requires, and I'm not sure that's a bad thing for an emergency ordinance. So I think I furnished everybody a copy of that, of the part of the statute that dealt with that. But everything in the statute we have in our charter, but we have even a little bit more. If you like what we have more than state law, and that's okay to be more restrictive in this type of an area of the law.
And I think that was the committee's concern, that we were compliant with state law at this point.
And we are.
We are, and have an additional requirement or two in there that may be there. And does anybody have heartburn with that issue?
We don't do a lot of them, Bob. You know, in your tenure, we did 2 or 3 or 4 or something. I don't know, one every
day. I don't think of about 2.
Yeah. And we needed a moratorium on internet cafes, comes to mind, as a quick ordinance that we did.
And I believe the other one we did was for the use of the park program. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're saying no change?
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
so
we need a motion?
Yes, let's just do it effectively.
Okay.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. And let's move on now to 218, investigation. And this was the discussion, Jim, that you were going to take a look and see how we might add in there the issue that the council would have the investigative power to talk about council members
of the city
qualified.
Right. I was going to suggest in there that... it would read something like this: the city may make investigations into the affairs of the city including but not limited to investigations regarding the qualifications of the city council and continued council residency. Maybe a note for Richard Clyde and authorship, but I think that would make it clear that that comes within your purview of authority, if you will.
Now, you still allow the council to decide they don't want to pursue an investigation.
But really what it's for is so that if they wanted to do an investigation into the affairs of the city, that would be one thing they could definitely do an investigation into. There was some question last time, and I was unsure myself. I even reached out to another law firm just to make sure, and I equivocated back and forth, because it was a little hard to look at this charter and figure that out. So this would clean that up a little bit, in my opinion.
So if we had a... If you're trying to fix past problems, so if we had a today Cam Lewis move to Middleburg, citizens could come forward and say, you need to investigate where Cam Lewis lives.
That's exactly what it
is. And they have the ability to do that, which previously they said they didn't have the ability to do.
And to remove somebody from the council as well. And again, all those type of decisions are going to end up in court, unless somebody just sits back as a council person and says, I'll just accept that if the vote was, the other four members, if their vote was to remove someone from office, those decisions, again, unless they just accept them, you know they're going to end up in court because that's the next step. That's the only place for it to go.
The frustration that occurred the last time was simply council saying, we don't have the ability to do that. And that was wrong. May it fit the charter, but come on, you guys are running the city.
I hear you, and that's what we're trying to. I think we're trying to put a little more teeth in here to do that. Again, we all know that when you get into those scenarios, everybody starts lawyering up. If they want to keep their seat on the council or on a county commission or whatever, the law books are full of cases dealing with that all the time. And you pick up a paper every day, it's but that's adding that will give a little more teeth in the argument. Hopefully we're not going to have that again. And we've cleaned up, as you all know, the residents. I was going to say we added more teeth to your definition of resident, residency, and that sort of thing as well to coincide with the case law. And when I was talking to Chris back about some of these sections, he said, it looks like you've been to one of my seminars, because that's where that language came from, but it came from cases and, about how residence is defined and all that sort of stuff. But having said that, courts still, because it's so much fact-oriented in where you live, you still end up litigation sometimes. I don't care how well you write these things, but that'll help a little bit.
Right. Can you read your verbiage there again, Jim?
Let's see. The council may make investigations into the affairs of the city, including but not necessarily limited to investigations regarding the qualifications of the city council and council and current council residency. I'll change that just a fraction there. I'm just trying to think as I go here. I believe that. I might give me a little wiggle room on making a small change there to it.
So you're saying they can investigate into their qualifications also?
Yes.
So does this also
cover
the city manager?
The city council has that authority, I can assure you. And y'all are going to probably deal with that topic if we haven't already spoken of it a little bit. Probably going to deal with that
further.
The city council has that authority. I mean, they already have it. I don't even need to bestow that upon them. They have that because they hire and fire the city manager just like they do me and the city clerk. So. Even if they don't like where a city manager or city attorney resides, they can fire us. Okay.
With or without calling.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Okay. I have a question on the bottom part of this, where it says any person fails or refuses to obey a lawful order, if he, in the exercise of his powers by the council, shall be guilty of misdemeanor and punishable by fine. Who's going to say you're guilty of a misdemeanor? But the council had, I thought a judge could only order you guilty of a misdemeanor.
Of course.
So this goes to court?
Yes.
Does it have to be enforced? The council can't say it shall be guilty of misdemeanor punishable by...
No, it shall constitute a misdemeanor. That doesn't mean that somebody's guilty of a misdemeanor. It just says that it would constitute a misdemeanor. Yes, you would end up in court with somebody being prosecuted. You'd have to have a prosecutor who would prosecute it. With city ordinances, as most of you I'm sure know, your prosecutors aren't fond of prosecuting people for city ordinances. You don't want to ever see that anymore because they have too many things to do and they've got state law to worry about, and that's what happens. So it's just a general provision. Maybe it gives a little teeth to it to scare somebody a little bit if they really are doing something.
The intent there is that you keep somebody from just thumbing the nose at you and saying, I'm not coming to the council and do this thing. We have a remedy for that problem.
There's a remedy. I guarantee, I shouldn't say guarantee, it's too strong.
I would get life imprisonment.
Did you say it was
blown? I'd be hard pressed to believe you could talk prosecutors and filing criminal charges on this, to be honest with you, but it's there.
I would
take it out.
Just in the thought process of this, would you be able to do this through our magistrate?
That's not a magistrate. A misdemeanor is a crime. Of course, the magistrate's not handling crimes per se, not doing any imprisonment, that's for sure.
My problem with this is I think the council knows this, and therefore I think the council is not going to do anything, as we've seen in the past. So I have a problem with this, and is there any other way that we can word this or any other thing that we can do that the council, who knows that a judge is not going to cooperate or a state attorney is not going to cooperate, file a misdemeanor on the court, How can we make this a little more powerful for the council's sake?
I don't think that there's any. I can't think of anything else that you can say any stronger than what that says.
Well, it's stronger, yeah, but the council knows that they have nowhere to go with it.
Well, let me just throw this out. I mean, I wasn't here when things happened in the past. If you're looking for a shall versus a may, maybe the way you do it is compel a council to consider it. It sounds to me like that's the action that perhaps didn't happen, that I guess there was a dialogue and the council wasn't compelled to act. Maybe the way you do is you insert the word shall here and that you make it where it's their duty to act, you know what I'm saying, when a complaint or whatever has come before the dais or something like that.
That would make it a lot stronger.
You know, and therefore, just like, if you have violations of the land development code or regular city code, you know what I'm saying, we're compelled, we're enjoined to act, you know what I'm saying? We can't just, you know, if it comes to our attention, we can't just not want to do it because, you know what I'm talking about. You know, or gosh, I know Jimmy Joe, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, we have to go through the process. We have to, you know, be equal. I mean, maybe that's the sentence that needs to go in there. That's just a suggestion.
That's a good suggestion, but my suggestion would be that we put it somewhere else rather than there, because these are permissive investigations. They're just general in nature. That's why it doesn't have the language that I was suggesting. Maybe make that leave that in there, because this is allowing your city council to do what they should be able to do, and that's to investigate departments or whatever it may be, and so forth. But stick it somewhere else in the charter if you're going to make that aspect of it dealing with council. And I think we're all talking about council, continued council residency, or continue to be qualified to sit on that city council. Make it mandatory that the city council shall investigate that. You use some of the same language, but stick it somewhere else. I haven't looked
at it. Can we go back then to section 2.02? Because I made the note in the margin here that under E, continued residency.
Sure, there you go, right there.
That we would add that sort of a paragraph there.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything else come up. As a matter of fact, I can't remember too many investigations the city council has ever done.
Do you think that's because there's no recourse, that they know that the state attorney's not going to prosecute? citizens have brought things to
honestly,
you.
It's politics. I mean, honestly, it's politics. I mean, that's we're really honest with each other. I mean, it's basically politics. It is.
I mean, isn't politics if you move and you're sitting there lying to people.
But it's politics whether they consider it. Bob, as I recall, Bob made a motion and it died for lack of a second or whatever. He tried, but you didn't have anybody else to play the game. And again, any citizen could have taken action. I know Bob knows this. Could have taken action. Could have filed a civil lawsuit to consider whether somebody still qualified. And I realize that sounds terrible to have to make citizens do that. But how do you make a city council vote the way you know they ought to vote on something? You can't do it. You can't make them vote in favor of something.
You run them off the council.
Well, if you give them a consequence rather than knowing that nothing's going to happen, this result of a misdemeanor is going nowhere.
Sure, I'm a little confused of your concern here.
Okay, well,
do you believe this applies to the council members? Or as I read
really
it, this is the authority of the council to prevent someone from just thumbing their nose at them and saying, I'm not going to testify before
prevent
you.
Prevent them from even agreeing to investigate.
But I don't think this applies to the council for not investigating.
It wouldn't unless we did something with trying to add all this stuff that we were talking about doing. I think it's just
the
general affairs of the city, the department, all this is the...
If you went to 202 in that... City council members, once elected, must maintain their residency within city limits, and then added, if citizens bring forward a complaint that a councilman no longer lives in the city, the council is compelled to investigate that complaint.
I was just going to say, look, if you want to add a little more, just say that they shall conduct a hearing within so many days,
right.
30 days, 45 days, or something.
How about if you allowed a city, rather than a citizen, let it be at least one city council person, surely one out of the remaining four would be on the side of somebody out there. If you had citizens saying, Joe's left the city, for God's sake, he's living in Orlando, can't we do something about this? So maybe make it if any member of the city council desires to have an investigation into the continued residency and qualifications of city council member, the entire city council shall fully investigate, you know, that issue or something like that.
Well, let me ask you, if they find that yes, this person, whatever, has left, then what's the recourse? Then what does the council do for
them? Then we would make sure that they could remove them from office. If you had a majority, which would have to be three of the remaining four, if you're talking about one, you'd never be talking about more than one at a time, I'm sure. It would have to be three of the remaining four to remove them. Otherwise, again, citizens have the right. I can't say it too many times.
Yeah, could you add like an A or B or 1 under this investigation section?
I would
something like that?
I would
go back to this.
I like it now. I thought it through to put it back over where Bob has suggested. I think that's a good place for it, and taking Luke's suggestion with regard to a mandatory investigation initiated.
Yeah.
If you like that idea of having any one council member may initiate the investigation.
It's almost like you take paragraph B and pull it over there with a slight modification of whether the candidate meets the qualifications, but whether the council member remains qualified to serve. And then you give them all the powers of subpoena and so forth.
What else could make them unable to serve other than other things in the charter, like being convicted of a felony or something, or missing four meetings in a row without being excused? Can we think of anybody think of other reasons other than lack of residency? I mean, obviously, absence, you can get kicked off. I don't think that's ever happened, but you could.
Unless you tie it to the state statutes on, ethical things and what public officers are supposed to do, there's a whole
It's not automatic in our trial.
Well, all elected officials, aren't they under some type of state statute?
But we have a certain amount of home rule power.
We do.
Couldn't just universe that.
All right, look at 2.08, right there where it talks about the event of any vacancy in the council occurs by reason of death, resignation, failure to possess the requisite qualifications as described in this charter, and you could say or state law. That would be a pretty simple little reference there. And that would cover whatever it is. If there's something in state law, and I'm not aware of exactly what all of those things might be off the top of my head, but if there's something else in state law that we're not referencing here, and I can ask Chris, and he'd know off the top of his head, we could have asked him.
Jim, you're going to provide the language for us to add to paragraph E there. And
I will.
And
do that. So that's 2.02.
I'm making a note here, so if we don't get it, we're in trouble.
Won't be the first time or the last.
It'll be a formal investigation.
There'll be a formal.
You can do that already.
Yeah. I've got a question.
That'll be a joke.
I have a hand up.
Jump in. That's
I didn't stop you.
No, I got chopped in.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just get my
hand. Yell that.
So it's going to be a mandatory investigation.
This investigation, this is in section two, and this is for, I know that there's a bad case in law firms now about what happened in the past. Okay, I understand that. But if I'm not mistaken, Luke wants us to put in here that they have, that the council has the right to investigate if a council member is not living in the right area, something like that. Is that what you
No, what Sarah's arguing for, and I think I would agree with, is to put some teeth in it where the council doesn't have the right but has an obligation to invest.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm for that, but I am not for sectioning out. We want the council to investigate A. We want them to investigate B. We want them to investigate C. I would rather them just have to clear the mud out of the water, just that the council has the right to investigate whatever, if someone is disqualified, if they're living in the wrong area, if they've done ABC, this, that, whatever. I just don't think we should be going through and putting each little, you know, minute thing, because that's not the purpose of it.
But Joe, that's why we walked away from 218 and went to 202 and said, take the piece that says, if you go to 202, where it says, okay, now I can't find 202. On E, city council members once elected must maintain their residency within the city limits during their term of office. That's what we want to strengthen specifically.
Well, but we've already redone the qualifications of what that is. So if they don't meet the qualifications, that they hold residency there, the place that you live, the place that you reside, that you eat eggs in the morning, or what that is so strengthened up now that it's obvious that you can't show residency that you live in the city of Green Cove and you have breakfast in Middleborough. I mean,
I'm missing something then, because the issue that arose was under E, as it was written right here. The council said they don't have the ability to investigate the fact that somebody doesn't live here.
All that we need to accomplish is that the council does have the authority to investigate.
No,
giving them a list of what to investigate.
No, we're not in the investigation. They can investigate anything they want, but under
But we're rewording 2.18, are we not? That's the one Jim's working on.
No, we're not going to hire it. We decided not to do well, but
we're not
concluded
gonna touch
that was not the proper place to do that.
So we concluded to go back over here to 2.02.
Reprint the 2.02 and
strengthen
the
section 8.
Okay. Joe, and again, the reason is because that's the one issue where we've had issues in Green Cove Springs, you know.
Okay.
And 2.18 would remain unchanged, Joe, and I think provide that umbrella for what you're talking about. If it's an issue that comes up, they need to investigate. They have that investigative authority there, but it's not, you know, very specific minute. These are kind of broad sections that...
So we're only changing to beef it up a little bit more under the qualifications for a city council seat for residency.
Exactly. I think really to provide a process.
But it's already there. I'm just going to add a little bit more to it.
It's going to make it mandatory that they do it if a city council person.
Fine, I'll pull that.
Yeah, if he qualifies under this, you're just trying to put something in there saying if you move a year and a half later.
All right. Let's set a date for our next.
I have one more question.
One short one because we need to wrap up.
Can we change this? Guilty of a misdemeanor, so we change the wording in there and come up with something else that these people could be held accountable for?
What section are you in, sir?
218. 2.18. Is there anything else that the city could...
The
state's not going to do anything.
Like
the state attorney's not going to charge them anything.
Sure, I missed the
essence, they're getting away with nothing. I mean, they're not having any consequences if they disobey these orders.
Sarah knows nobody will do anything.
I know, good well, they don't.
You all can
just
do
think about it. Is there something you can think about, that some type of fine or something that if these people blatantly disobey these lawful orders,
the Green Coast Coalition will pick that up, and we'll be up here 20 minutes long, one at a time, and say, why aren't you doing it?
I can't think of one time in the last 37 years where that has really been.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not going to in the future.
Well,
But think about it. If there's a fine or something we can put on people for blatantly, you know, just they will not obey the lawful order.
It's a policy directive. All I want to do is write this stuff up and make suggestions, so I'll do whatever the will of the...
What if you said you're subject to fines up to $10,000 for getting misdemeanor, forget all of that.
Absolutely.
Get some money out of it.
We need some cash.
I would just caution us to think back to our...
rely on this.
We're getting that hole over here in the corner.
Sorry.
But no, I was just going to say, is there something that we can really do to make the government more efficient? And these are probably very limited kinds of things where this would occur. And probably it would be of such a massive nature that I'm not sure we wouldn't be able to get the state's attorney to prosecute that kind of thing. I mean, I don't view someone here dodging a question of the council for a very, I shouldn't say minor, but for an investigative process. Let's think back to maybe some of the things that went on that we had a grand jury involved in, where at that point there is some risk here if I come before the council and begin to talk and testify and do some things, and then that's going to be of a magnitude that I believe the state's attorney would say, yes, I will prosecute that for you. Just as they had the grand jury. So, I mean, I think that we're reasonably comfortable where we are.
Okay. I just go on record saying this is ridiculous because nothing's going to happen.
Let's find
in these two
the
sentences, it's ridiculous. So that's fine.
Obviously a hot topic.
We understand where you are.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a look at the calendar here on the back of the agenda page that you have there. And the 6th, I know from some email traffic, trying to move this meeting is a good day. How does the 13th look on everyone's calendar?
I mean, I'd be happy to have everyone out to my place in Sardinia, because I'm going to be in Italy for the month. But, you know, you're welcome to come over. And
are you going to pay our wife for your move? Are you going to get a bus?
What's the airfare?
Well, the bus could be a little tough.
You're going to be gone the whole month of November?
Me's going to be gone the whole month.
Yeah.
The whole month?
Yeah, I leave on the 12th.
So in March? Oh, okay.
But if you had it before then, I'd be happy to show up.
How about the 6th?
We said the 6th already had conflicts with
any other day
of where we were. So
well, how many conflicts?
Well, this is the Monday, the 4th.
We got two missing hours, so.
How about the rest of the folks in the six?
I can't remember.
We have a meeting on the 6th of the Archives Committee.
That's a Thursday.
So, yeah, on the 6th. So the 7th would be available.
That's available for
good by me.
7th is good?
Oh, sure.
That's a Thursday.
They don't have anything. Well, I usually can someone a switch with me.
Oh,
you have
to schedule.
I
sure.
Beg somebody. They're usually nice to me.
We're good for Thursday the 7th? Our next meeting will be Thursday the 7th at
5 p.m.
At 5 p.m.?
5 p.m.
Okay, you get one more in before you get to bed.
Yep. I'll work on this, some of this language and bring it back to you next time so I can, because I know we've taken all these, I'm taking notes, but he's got the recorder, so he's...
Mm-hmm.
And what are the days?
Let's take another one. So I can
we're going to do November 7th.
Okay.
And let's just try and steel ourselves to get through the whole process here. If we have to run a 2.5 hour so let's do that to get through that process and be there. And then we can have one more meeting to pull together what we want to make as the presentation to the council and vote on that.
Mr. Chair, I think you had a question from a member of the council.
Okay.
If we could get another date in that week.
In November,
the only other day I see is Monday 4th in that week.
No, not that week.
Oh,
in the month. So if we pick that, it's easier for me to look at my schedule.
Yeah. How about the 20th as the second date in the month then to try and wrap everything up? Mr. Burton will be out of town. But
I'll be having knee surgery on the 20th. I'm having a knee replacement.
Yeah, you're dropping my slide. That's why I was trying to keep you to the week of the 4th. Do you think if you gave him two options in that week?
He promised me not
to
have
a
mouth.
I don't know. That's hard.
How is
that?
That's hard. Surgery is basically.
And without putting me through this.
I would like to get as many meetings as possible before the 20th.
13th
is good for me.
Okay.
So we will still be here on the 7th and then the next week on the 13th.
On the 13th.
Okay.
All right.
Are you entertaining a motion to adjourn?
Wait.
Get all your questions in.
I know we want to wrap all this up.
Are
we going to spend some time on looking at possibly doing districts?
Yes, that will be.
That means
we're coming to
know how. Coming to that. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
I thought that was one of the things that the council kind of wanted us to look at.
Yeah. That is
really spent a lot.
That is section 7, I think, over here.
One member of the council wanted us.
Section 7, if you look at page 10 on this cluster, that's where we'll take that one up, and that will also cover Bob's plurality, et cetera.
Are these meetings going to be at 5?
We're going to start them at 5.
Okay.
The next one's going to end at 11:30, right?
So, we're going to press
good,
on.
That's the one I'm not
going to
be here.
All right.
Marshall.
Stand adjourned at 5. Marshall, can I make you buy me at the table?
There's something to foster.
Somebody else is waiting on us.
It's worthwhile. I know you were excited.
Oh, yeah.
Are you coming to arrest me, guys? Can we make nominations?
Process.
Thank you.
Oh, we got a great decoration.